This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Preseason predictions for the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Give it to me.
Do you want the Atlantic or the Coastal first?
Yes.
All right, I'll give you the Coastal first.
Okay.
Miami, 1. 98 first place votes. Pitt, 2.
Really?
Yes. 38 first place votes.
Okay.
North Carolina, 3.
Okay.
18 votes for first place. Virginia, 4. 6 first place votes. Virginia Tech, 5. They got 3 first place votes. Georgia Tech, 6. They got 1 first place vote.
Who? Okay.
Hard stop. What? Who in their right mind is voting for Georgia Tech to finish first?
Who voted for Virginia Tech to finish first?
Believe it or not, I could. Well, you're probably
right. It's the
Coastal. You're probably right. Georgia Tech!
Yeah.
Duke last, no first place votes. You ready for the Atlantic? Give me the breaking news sounder again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I want it again. Atlantic Division prediction. 1. Clemson.
What?
111. First place votes.
What?
2, NC State. 44 first place votes. 3, Wake Forest. 6 first place votes. 4, Louisville. No first place votes.
Yeah, it makes sense.
5, Florida State. 2 first place votes.
Okay.
Those two people are drunk.
They probably also voted Georgia Tech.
Maybe.
The person that voted Georgia Tech
probably
also voted
Florida State. 6, Boston College. 1 first place vote. That's a bit of a stretch, although I think BC would be okay.
Wait, what?
Yeah. 7th, Syracuse, with the lowest number of votes, a lower vote total than Duke. I don't know if I have to do the math here, but I wonder if everybody picked Syracuse last in the Atlantic, and maybe there were a few people who picked Georgia Tech below Duke in the Coastal.
But how? Georgia Tech had a first place vote.
Stunning. All of it is stunning.
The disrespect. The disrespect. NC State was voted 2nd. The disrespect.
Yeah, actually,
Devin Leary.
I mean, I don't think NC State was probably picked below 2nd on many ballots at all.
Yeah,
I think they got first or 2nd.
Maybe a 3rd.
So, 959 points. I have to add up how many people voted. I haven't done that yet, but I just saw the list. So,
my guess is whomever voted Wake Forest to win the conference may have had Clemson to finish 2nd.
Maybe.
Or maybe it voted, yeah. So I could see NC State getting some 3rd place
votes. I think it's a 3-2-1 voting system, right? Basically. 3 points for 1st, 2 points for 2nd. Well, no, that wouldn't be it.
It's a 7 point system.
1 through 7.
Yeah,
7 through 1. Maybe that's the way. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know how it works. Anyway, when we come back, Mark Brazel, tournament director, Wyndham Championship. A week from Thursday, they will tee off at Sedgefield Country Club in the final event of the PGA Tour's regular season and the final event of the regular season as we know it. Next. Next week, the final event on the PGA Tour's regular season schedule will be the Wyndham Championship. I hope it is always in that spot, unless there's another spot they would like to get. It's one, I think when we spoke to Mark Brazel the last time, I said that it was the next event that really mattered on the PGA Tour, and preliminarily at least, it looks like the field will reflect that. They just added 2019 Open champion Shane Lowry to the field. Billy Horschel has committed. We know Brant Snedeker's always there because when you win as many times as he has at Sedgefield, you show up. Mark Brazel, tournament director, Wyndham Championship, joins us on the Adam Gold Show. You got to be proud of the field you're getting at this time of the year. How are things otherwise?
Yeah, things are great. Thanks, Adam, for having me. I appreciate it. And no, we are happy with the field. And I think that I'm actually going to go up to Detroit for a couple days for tomorrow and Thursday and back Friday night, Friday morning. Try to see if there's anybody else that wants to come play. But we're happy with the field. I think it's just going to get better here in the next several days.
Yeah, you're not done, and fields aren't set until 5 p.m. Friday the week before. So there is still time for a lot of players to decide to come to Sedgefield. Really one of the cool stops, I think, on the PGA Tour. It's just a very different type of a golf course than a lot of the places that they play on the PGA Tour. The last time we talked, LIV was a new – it wasn't really a new thing, but it was starting to impact a lot of things. Has your outlook on that changed at all in, let's say, the last 5 or 6 weeks?
That's a good question. I think that, obviously it's had an impact. I think it's impacted every tournament for the most part. It didn't impact the Open this year because they were allowed to play. That's going to be interesting. I think that's going to be a real big question to be answered is will the LIV players be able to play in majors from this point going forward? Will the world golf rankings, official world golf rankings, give points to tournaments that are 54 holes, which I would tell you that's a no.
Right.
Especially that those that are played in a shotgun start and, on a Sunday, can you even imagine a Sunday somebody gets hot and you don't really know if they're winning or losing? Or I mean, they have no idea. They might finish on the 14th hole or the 11th hole. And so you've got all that. And then, the real question here is one word. It's about competition. And, is LIV Golf set up for true competition? Sounds to me like they're all getting paid up front. So they're not actually killing what they eat. They're eating before, they're eating a lot before the meal, And so they're not having to really work for their salaries or anything like that. So I think that actually, that whole debate about competition, true, pure competition is going to have some weight when it comes down to what the majors decide.
Adam Gold in studio with my friend Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, how does longevity risk figure into our retirement and income plan?
This is the best of times and the worst of times, Adam. The longevity risk means we're going to live too long. But to me, every day I live is not too long.
Right, absolutely.
Good. So we want our money to outlive us. And unfortunately, many people have seen, you out there listening, maybe one of them, your money is not designed to outlive you. You might outlive your money, and that's not what we want to have happen. Because when we get to that day after you run out of money, it's not going to be a fun time. So let's design a plan that guarantees you'll never run out of money. We call it the GPI plan, Growth Protection Lifetime Income. For the next 10 people, this is a golden ticket, Adam. $1,000 value, we're going to do it at no cost or obligation.
And all you have to do is call. We make it so easy. Would you like financial independence into your retirement and beyond it? 800-661-7383. That golden ticket is a $1,000 value, or you could text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. Mark Brazel, Tournament Director, Wyndham Championship, is joining us here in the Adam Gold Show. There are really two conversations about competition. There's the competition between the two entities, and there is the competition in terms of how these tournaments are structured. To your point about world rankings points, that right now, LIV does not meet the criteria, and we know that they have applied for membership, but my assumption is that they understand they don't meet the criteria, and that when they applied, they probably offered to change their format for their tournaments to include 72 holes and larger fields. Because right now the minimum field size, I think, for a tour, not a one-off, but for a tour, is, I think, has to be an average of 70 players in order to achieve actual tour status. So should be a 72-hole event. The format probably doesn't matter in terms of, heck, you could probably play it as a Stableford. I don't know. But in order for it to qualify, there are certain minimum standards it has to meet. Right now they don't, but I assume that they will You know, they have said that they would, but we're still talking about you have to be in existence based on the current rules for a full year before you even qualify. So
that's correct. So, yeah, you apply for points, and then if they say yes, then you still have to wait a full year before that takes effect.
All right. Now, I want to ask you about two players in your field because they have been two of the most outspoken players. And one of them, you mentioned last time, is two-time champion. I've already mentioned him today, is Brant Snedeker. He was asked, and I believe it was at the Open, the U.S. Open, if a player, or maybe it was at Travelers the week after, if he thought that players should be allowed back on the PGA Tour who have chosen to go to LIV, and this is the fight. The real fight isn't whether or not you should be allowed to go to LIV. That's free choice. I have no problem with anybody who has made that decision. The real choice, the real dilemma for me is, does the PGA Tour have the right to enforce their rules? In which case, you've left, fine, go play that tour. You're not a member here. And Brant Snedeker basically said, I hope they never play again, which was, I mean, wild to me, not that I disagree with it, that we see so little outspokenness from players on the PGA Tour. You know Brant. So tell me where his mind is at with that, because I understand it.
Well, here's his mind, and it's exactly what I was about to tell you, is that so you got Justin Thomas and Rory McIlroy and Colin Morikawa and Brant and Webb and all these guys and John Rahm and some of the best players in the world that have said no to huge offers from the Saudis, you know, for whatever reason.
Right.
These are the guys that want to play in every major. These are the guys that want to win majors. These are the guys that want to win PGA Tour events and build their legacies. Well, you don't do that on LIV and you build a pocketbook, but how are they going to allow them back in after they just made their $100 or $50 million or whatever it might be, when Rory and these guys, they didn't get it. They didn't. That doesn't seem to me like it's very fair to the guys that stayed and were loyal to the PGA Tour. I mean, you know, Adam, I'm sure you and I could talk about just about every sport, especially the ones that matter. And loyalty is gone. Loyalty in sports is over. And I don't know if it was LeBron or how it happened, but the whole on the NBA, the whole title chasing, all these guys wanting to go to play different teams and try to win championships, you know, instead of doing like MJ and Bird and Magic and so many others that stayed on one team. And then, you know, the whole thing with college football is a little nuts with the whole NILs. And I mean, that's just nuts. I mean, these guys are leaving schools because they got a better deal over here as a freshman or sophomore in college.
Yeah.
So this, you know, this is what Tiger was talking about, is that it was all about loyalty. I mean, he's so disgusted by the whole thing because they just turned their back on the entity and the league that made all these guys really wealthy beyond belief and gave them their status and their marketability and their profile.
Well, there's no question that, Phil Mickelson, well, I'm going to leave Phil out of it, but there's no question that a guy like Brooks Koepka doesn't have this type of following, this type of, you know, fame without playing on the PGA Tour. I don't know how many people know this. His career actually started in Europe. He played the Challenge in the European Tour then came over to play the PGA Tour. On the low, I wagered sort of with a mutual friend of ours, one of the VPs of McConnell Golf, owner of Sedgefield. The year before Koepka really hit it big, I thought he was going to win your event, and I picked him. And he's like, "Man, that's a good pick." Koepka didn't. I think he threatened, but he didn't win. But Koepka became a star on the PGA Tour.
That's right. That's
and then
right.
And then basically took his ball and his bag and went to LIV. In terms of top players who are going to play this week, and I have one more question about LIV that I'll get to in a second. In terms of top players who may play last week, the top 10 in the Comcast Business Tours final standing, so the top 10 in the FedEx Cup standing, get bonus points. How many of those guys do you expect, you know, somebody who's maybe, you know, 8, 9, 12, 11, how many of those guys do you expect to come and maybe play for that money?
You know, you make a good point. I mean, you know, really the guys from – heck, it looks. I think Scheffler has won the thing, which is okay.
Yes.
But I mean, so there's $4 million to Scotty, and he deserves it. He's played, he's had a hell of a year. But you know, I think somebody could jump up to two, certainly jump up to three, four, and that's a bunch of money that these guys would go if they went from 10 to three or nine to two or nine to three or four. I mean, they're making another $500,000 or something like that, $600,000 if they jump that high, maybe even more than that. So, yeah, there's a lot of money to be played for. Basically, it's $20 million given to the top 10 players after our tournament. That doesn't mean they have to all play in my tournament, but after the Wyndham, it's paid out. So it's kind of a regular season bonus is what it is. And, you know, it's pretty hefty, and I think there are some people that are looking at it going, you know, I'm number 12 or 13. If I play well or if I win, which I'm playing well right now, I could, you know, I could get an extra – 500 points and jump up to number six. And I'm not sure what number six makes, but it's probably right around $1 million. So, you know, there's a lot to be played for here.
Billy Horschel is 18th on that list. There's a lot of, incentive for Billy to come here. Are all the Wake guys playing?
You know, I'm waiting, on Cameron, Will. So, I've got a good feeling about Zalatoris. I'm not sure about Cameron. I'll see him tomorrow, but we'll see. You know, and obviously Billy Haas and Webb Simpson and some of the other guys that went to Wake are all playing, and that's always great.
You could probably put Webb's name in the field, and we're talking with Mark Brazel, tournament director, Wyndham Championship. You could probably put Webb's name in the field like 8 years from now and not have to worry whether or not Webb is going to play. Final thing, because you mentioned that, you know, all these guys who've turned down money, Rory, JT, Rahm, Jordan Spieth, they've turned down, I mean, Xander Schauffele turned down a bunch of money. He's talked openly about it. When the playoffs are over, how many of those guys do you think still turn it down?
I don't think any of those guys go. I think that there are some that are going to go. I think there's still another pack of them, and it might be – it might be 8, it might be 12, but I think there's still another group to go.
So I do too.
I do think it's after the playoffs. I don't know if they're rolling the dice to hopefully get paid and then hopefully that the tour and Live will merge in some potential way, but I don't know. I think that's a risky bet.
Go ahead.
I'm agreeing with Snedeker on this whole thing.
I probably share a lot closer to that view than the other. Final thing for Mark Brazel, and I can't wait. I'm coming out next week. Good. It's a great event. It's a super golf course, and there's when you get to the last one, man, there is so much riding depending on different parts of the leaderboard. You don't even have to be trying to win. Like, I watched Chesson Hadley last year play his way in to the FedEx Cup playoffs on the final day, and you could tell how much it meant. And Chesson and I have a pretty good relationship, and I've been rooting for him. He's playing really well of late as well. Is there a way for essentially Liv to get the off season and the PGA Tour to keep the season?
It goes back to, if you do that, how are you going to take care of Rory and JT and Jordan, Xander and Rahm and those guys? How do you take care of them?
Right.
I mean, I think it's an us versus them thing right now. I've heard a lot of people talk about them taking over the fall. Somebody's going to have to answer that other question. I mean, some of these guys got over 100 to, you know, $250 million.
Yes. You can't compete with the money. There's no chance to compete with the money.
And Jay Monahan was quite clear about that.
Yeah. If it's about money, then this is not going to be a fair fight. Mark Brazel, love talking to you. I'll see you next week. I appreciate your time. If there's anything to report, let me know.
I will. Thanks, Adam. I appreciate it, buddy.
You got it. Mark Brazel, Wyndham Championship. It is a great event. It's got a very good field, and the field will get better as we get later on in this week. You get until Friday at 5 o'clock. I've told this story before. Tiger Woods played in it 1 year. Okay, Tiger was trying to make the playoffs. He had had a bad year. His back was killing him. And he showed up in Sedgefield, and this is a golf course he should destroy because Tiger doesn't, you don't have to hit a driver on that golf course. You can play three wood, you can play iron off tees and still be very effective. And Tiger had a share of the lead after 36 holes. But I went out on the Thursday, and let me tell you, because they knew that this was likely the last time, the only time Tiger was ever going to go. And it was like a major championship. I kid you not, on the first tee, they were like eight deep off on watching Tiger tee off. And it was, it looked like a major championship the first week in August. All right, when we come back, we're going to do this. It's a countdown to the start of the NFL season. We pick one team each day, and we do, like 5 or so minutes information about Cleveland?
Yeah, things to do in the city.
All right, good. We have the Cleveland Browns. We'll be up first. They are coming to Bank of America Stadium. But we will profile Cleveland next. Oh, great. Great bump coming back, Cleveland Rocks here. Because that's where we are going to begin 32 days from now. Right? 32 days from now?
32 shows.
Shows from now. Sorry, yes.
Yeah, we're not counting the weekend.
Business, that meant business days.
Business days,
32.
Yes.
I always hate when companies do that. Well, you'll get it in 7 to 10 business days. Like how? I don't know how long that is.
Say 2 weeks.
Tell me how long it's going to take. 32 business days from now, 32 shows from now, is the Thursday night opener. Right? We have the Rams and the Bills, by the way. Heck of a game. Heck of a game. We might have, could be a Super Bowl preview for all we know. But 32 days from now, we start. Today, we start the preview. Dennis Cox, this is your baby. Do you have music?
Oh, I've got music.
Let's hear it. Prove it.
Static selector.
All right. Things to do in Cleveland.
Things, even though we don't have to go to Cleveland because the game is here.
We don't have to go. But if you ever do find yourself in Cleveland for whatever reason.
Oh, man. The lake caught fire.
Maybe it did. You got to go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
We've talked about that. We know one of the board of directors of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
We do.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's the big thing there in Cleveland. You got to go check out the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Even
Rock
though it's
Hall.
More than just rock and roll music, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
It's essentially a music hall of fame.
It's a music
right?
hall of fame.
Although, here, you know what's interesting? Is that I don't think Sinatra's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well, he should be.
Right? I got to check that out.
Okay. Well, while you're checking that out, something else that people, if you go to Cleveland, can check out. You know the movie A Christmas Story? It's on loop.
Right.
Pretty much all Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Do you know that house is located in Cleveland?
No.
Yeah. So the house was actually built in 1895. And it was obviously been remodeled and such over multiple years. But in 2004, a San Diego-based entrepreneur named Brian Jones, a longtime fan of the film, bought the home on eBay.
On eBay?
In 2004.
So there was a bid, right?
I guess.
What was the first bid?
I don't know. Maybe he said, top bid or purchase it right now for this price.
Exactly. So it might not have been a bid.
Well, I don't know if they had that feature back in 04. I don't remember. Either way, bought the home back on eBay, renovated it to once again match the scenes from the movie. All right, so that was a big thing, had to match the scenes from the movie. He actually used his profits from his own business, which was selling replicas of the movie's iconic leg lamp. So he used money from a business he started based off the movie to buy the house from the movie off eBay.
Gosh, isn't that creepy?
So yeah, he used that money for his down payment. Use this money for that down payment.
Very nice.
You can go tour the house and go see the house where a Christmas story was
All right, good.
Also, I'm going to throw a couple food items in there as well. Expect a lot of pierogies while you're up in Cleveland.
Cleveland. Pierogies. That's what they're known for.
A lot of pierogies while
you're up. Are you a pierogi guy?
Yeah, pierogies are good.
It's potato, right?
Yeah. It's delicious.
I mean, it's hard. Potatoes are... It's hard to mess up a potato.
Exactly. If you screw up potatoes, you're a terrible
It's just hard to mess them up.
Okay. So, yeah, a lot of pierogies. But also, something I want to feature on... I want to feature this.
We don't have a title for this this segment.
We don't.
Get to know the league.
There we go.
That's the title. We just made a title. Get to know the league.
Jack Frost Donuts. The top donut place. Been making donuts from scratch every day since 1937.
Every day.
Since 1937.
Since 1937.
A long time.
I'm sure that the same person is not making the donuts.
It might be a family recipe.
Probably. Handed down generation to generation. Does it have a donut specialty? Do they make crullers? Do they do eclairs? Bear claws?
There was a place that did apple fritters, but not this place.
Fritters. Oh.
Yeah.
Fritters are always good. Do they do Danish? Or just donuts?
I think they do just donuts. Okay. I'm going to pull their menu up for you right now, sir. They also do catering.
Oh, of course.
You think they'll deliver to us?
Do they do anything other than donuts? Do they do...
Well, you can also get a banana... Well, yeah, mostly all donuts here.
Okay,
so
that's
just fine. Checking out their daily menu. They have different things like different... Like a strawberry jelly donut, a turtle cake donut, which I'm not sure what that is, but I'm intrigued by it. Maple raised bacon donut. Just strictly donuts, it looks like, from this place.
Nothing wrong with it.
Yep.
Nothing wrong with strictly donuts. All right, good.
Yeah, hey, you know what? You do one thing well, you do it.
Rock it.
Just crush it. They also have some different specialty donuts here. They have a Applejack cereal frosted cake donut. So it's a cake donut that's frosted with Applejacks on top.
Is this green Apple Jacks or because now they're green and like
orange? They've
always
been green and orange.
Oh,
as far as I've known.
Really?
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've had Apple Jacks.
I want Apple Jacks.
Did you like Apple Jacks as a kid?
Oh, absolutely.
You ever eat corn pops?
Yeah.
I like those as a kid too.
It was interesting. The corn pops, the bag was always like kind of like that foil. As opposed to like traditional, like just plastic that you see, it was always the foil.
Interesting. I don't remember. I just know that Corn Pops used to float on top of the milk more than other cereals
did.
Because there was more of almost a satin shell to them.
Yeah, it probably was satin. Actually.
Milk couldn't penetrate it.
So yes, Jack Frost donuts. So check out the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the house from the Christmas Story. Eat lots of pierogies. And grab donuts from Jack Frost.
Did we do anything about football?
Why?
That's a good point. It's a very good point. Now, they didn't change any... They didn't do any uniform changes this year. Last year, they went back to an old combination with the, the orangish... Because it's not really... It's sort of... It's almost a dull orange. Mm-hmm. Now, the Bengals orange is bright, almost offensive orange. But... And I wasn't saying that to be offensive, but it's a really bright orange.
It's more of a muted.
The brown orange is dulled, but, works with the brown. And I like
matte
the
orange.
Orange. Yeah. The brown jersey with the orange pants. When I was a kid growing up watching football in the 80s, that was the Browns uniform. You know, the old Kevin Mack, Ernest Biner days. It's a pretty good team.
Nah.
Ryan Sipe, quarterback. All right,
also, while you're there, if you act one football-related thing, you'll never see a replay of Ernest Biner's fumble.
Oh, yeah.
Because it will hurt people's feelings.
That was tough, man. They couldn't get over on Denver. It was either them screwing up or John Elway breaking their heart.
Yep.
It was one or the other. All right, do we know what team we're doing tomorrow?
We are... Well, on Thursday, we're going to be doing the New York Giants.
Right, because that will be the first road game for the Panthers.
Tomorrow, we will be going to Philadelphia.
Oh, man, Philly. We're going to have a debate. We'll have a debate from Philly.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
I think the fact that most mattresses are built to sustain a weight of 250 pounds is BS. S, I was ready for a change. I love that the Big Fig mattress supports up to 1,100 pounds. So if you and your partner are both curvier, if you and your partner are both larger framed, they're supporting you. It's so important for me to tell the world about brands that are truly seeing us as a community. And I love that Big Fig does that.
Big Fig is the company that believes that everybody and every body deserves a great night's sleep. Learn more at BigFigMattress.com.